Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
In the words of the great Loki in Thor Ragnarok, your savior is here.
Great movie, by the way.
Welcome.
I really enjoyed that. One of the last Marvel movies that was actually good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I just threw them right under the bus.
That's a tough one.
It was.
It's my favorite.
It's pretty good.
It's my favorite.
I enjoy it.
It's my favorite.
So, Corey, we were having this conversation earlier. How many teams in the NFL right now at this moment are playing worse football than the Titans? In your mind? I can come up with about two or three.
Well, I would have said the Giants, and then they won yesterday. You know, if you want a team that's underachieving, you know, on a massive level, you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The Chargers were charging at their very finest.
He's going to get fired today, yesterday. I think.
With that roster, come on. How can you not win games with that roster? That he does not have the excuses that other coaches have. They have got players. That is unbelievable. Without going through the whole league, the Patriots are god awful. But I mean, if you're asking me who would I pick the Titans to beat right now, no one.
Not even the Carolina Panthers.
You know what? I will expect them to win at home because they have played better at home. But if the game were in Charlotte, I would pick the Panthers.
Isn't that just kind of a sad state of affairs of where things are right now? And then yesterday,
woo!
Corey, I mean, look, it's 27-0 at one point. Titans scored two garbage time touchdowns. And as bad as this offense was last year, and it was bad, they averaged 17.5 points a game. They're at 16.8 right now, Corey. They're getting worse offensively. And it's easy to trace it directly to the offensive line, and certainly that's the biggest issue.
Yes,
but
it is.
It's amazing to me that the offense has gotten worse from last year to this year.
Well, especially when you consider that they've got DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And they didn't last year. You've got DeAndre Hopkins. But last year, you know, there were still times they could run the football. They can't even run the football consistently now. And that's, you know, look, that's a hallmark in the NFL, and that's been the hallmark of this team. It is the core of where this team has started, is running the football and stopping the run. And they can't hang their hat really on anything right now. And so yesterday, I was thinking this and I saw other people saying it, and, you know, it felt like the cratering of the season. You know, this is the bottom. Now, if they lose to the Panthers, then we could say this is the bottom. But, you know, it kind of felt like, okay, season's over, all right? This is where this team is at, and you kind of begin to rebuild from here. That's what it feels like to me. I don't know about you guys. I saw exactly what I expected to see yesterday. There wasn't anything about yesterday that surprised me.
Yeah, it's right in line. I thought maybe they could be mildly competitive, but that was not the case. So we're along with, like you said, I think most people would agree, that's, we can stop talking about this is a big game. This look at the stand.
Yeah, like, no, there's
it doesn't matter.
Game.
That's all over. Right.
Yes.
So now you move to draft and all that stuff. And my goodness, I just can't wait to talk about the NFL draft for several months in a row. But also, of course, Corey, people talking about, you know, Mike Vrabel, Paul Kaharsky asked him yesterday about job status. Fans are talking about job status, court coordinators, Vrabel, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, where are you on just specifically the coaching staff and the possibility that significant changes could be ahead?
Well, I mean, I you know, look, Paul, you know, people can say whatever they want, but that question needed to be asked. It totally needed to be asked, and I commend him for asking it. You get to that point. I was there when the Titans lost 59-0, and I asked Jeff Fisher about job status that day. I also asked for a statement from the owner that day. But, you know, you get to a point, and we're at that point. They're 3-14 over the last 17. So it's fair to question, all right? We can all still think Mike Vrabel is ultimately a good football coach, a good head coach, and question. And that's, you know, where we're at. I think it's fair to question, you know, if they need to make major changes. I was one who downplayed the Jim Schwartz departure because I thought the personnel was good enough to keep performing at a high level up front on defense. It has not continued to perform at that level. And so now I'm beginning to wonder, you know, how much of an impact did Jim Schwartz have? Because I see that Cleveland defense, and I see the Titans defense. And, you know, look, there have been a lot of games where the defense hasn't been great, but it's given them a chance to win. I mean, they were only giving up like 20 points a game. Coming in. So it hasn't been awful, but we expected this unit to be dominant. And quite frankly, when you look at the money they're spending on the front and the capital they've used on that front, that group needs to be dominant, and they're not. And so I think it's fair to question that. And then, again, I think PK pointed this out. I mean, I was thinking it as well, but, you know, just thinking about other people who were talking about it, it's fair to question why no one is getting better. You know, we have seen Titan offensive lines struggle and then get better. Go back to 2019 when Lawan was suspended for the first four games and they were god-awful. I mean, they got Mariota killed. They were absolutely terrible. And they got it together and became a very, very strong unit. We saw for years, you know, where the Mike Munchak years when he was the head coach and he had Bruce Matthews as his offensive line coach, they would struggle out of the gate. Munch would get involved with the offensive line, and it would get fixed, and they would perform. And so we've seen offensive lines get better. So I think I said this last night. There is one thing to lack talent, which we all agree they probably do. But there's another not to improve. And, you know, and injuries or not, we're not seeing improvement. And that, I believe, is fair to question.
So, Corey, I saw you tweet this yesterday. Should they be making a call after this year to Mike Munchak and see if he'll come coach the offensive line?
Well, if I was Mike Vrabel, I shouldn't say Mike Vrabel. If I was any head coach in the NFL and I was taking over a team, that would be my first call every time, would be to ask Mike Munchak to run my offensive line. Finest offensive line coach that I've worked with, and that would be always be the first call I would make. And, look, if I were this team, I would get the blank sheet of paper out and I would say, what would it take for you to come back and run this offensive line? We'll give you this much money. We'll call you the assistant head coach. We'll even give you a big say in the room on offensive linemen in the draft. But that's me. That's not like anything I know. That's just what I would do. Because to me, it's not time to take a shot on somebody that we might believe in. You need somebody who can come in and fix this. And that guy fixes offensive lines. I don't know if he wants to coach anymore. The last time I talked to him, he was very happy being a grandfather. But he's been away for a few years. And maybe the thought of coming back here and kind of resurrecting himself here, you know, would be appealing to him. I don't know. It's a call worth making. I texted him. He never answers texts.
Well, you know, obviously – you know him well. He has a great track record, and I have no idea if he'd be interested. But that spot in particular, Corey, is where I do look like probably the most curious thing about the offseason is the, you know, you fire the offensive line coach and then you promote his assistant to take over. You know, it's just such a bizarre, like, what are you saying with that move?
Well, Vrabel
talked about the greatest interview ever, but, you know.
Yeah.
What's that?
I think it was a clash of personalities. You know, there was a thought of too much negativity, and they really, like you said, liked the person, and they thought that, you know, becoming connected on a personal level would help these guys improve. They're not improving. And – you know, so you got to ask why. Are they that bad where it's impossible for them to improve? Because, like, look, we've seen Lions struggle. We just see, like, collapses of the pocket. I mean, just flat-out misses. Guys just flat-out miss. And you can't have that. And, you know, look, the coach Hodling, you know, might be great one day. I don't know. And maybe it's not his fault. But all I can do is look at the product. And every week the product looks the same. And that's a problem. When the product is bad and it looks the same every week, that's a problem.
Corey, last thing for you here. Who you got in the game of the year tonight, Eagles and Chiefs on Monday Night Football?
Oh, I thought we were talking about the NHL. No.
Who you got in that one, too?
No, I don't. It's the Ryan Johansson revenge game. So, of course, he's going to come in and get a hat trick and say, you know, this is the way I played every night.
That's right.
I have to go with the Eagles. I have said it all year, and I will continue to say it. The Chiefs' defense is fantastic. Andy Reid is one of my absolute favorite head coaches of all time, and if I could have anybody to coach my team right now, it would be him. Patrick Mahomes is amazing. He doesn't have the weapons that he used to. He's got Travis Kelce, and that's about it. And if I were a defense, I would smother Travis Kelce with 900 people and make the rest of those randos beat me. And I think that's what the Eagles will do. The Eagles have weapons all over the field, and I expect the Eagles to win.
Corey, great stuff. Appreciate, as always, you taking time to be with us. And how about those Chicago Bears yesterday? Nice collapse by them.
It was absolutely unbelievable. You know what? It's amazing because, you know, we're still having the Justin Fields conversations. And, you know, you can like Justin Fields and still acknowledge that Caleb Williams is a generational quarterback and you have to take him. There is no question about it. And by the way, speaking of that, there are about 3 million fans in Chicago right now who are huge Titan fans.
Yes. No question about that. Corey, appreciate you as always. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Happy Thanksgiving, and the Packers still stink.
Thank you very much. Big game from Jordan Love yesterday.
And they play on Thanksgiving.
They do. A nice matchup between my Green Bay Packers and Joe Rexroad's beloved Detroit Lions, who he's growing fonder of each week.
Mm-hmm. No, I hate them even more.
We'll get into the Titans and Jags, react to what Corey had to say there. Interesting thoughts on the Munchak part of that. We'll get into that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game. So, Corey, I saw you tweet this yesterday. Should they be making a call after this year to Mike Munchak and see if he'll come coach the offensive line?
Well, if I was Mike Vrabel, I shouldn't say Mike Vrabel. If I was any head coach in the NFL and I was taking over a team, that would be my first call every time, would be to ask Mike Munchak to run my offensive line. Finest offensive line coach that I've worked with, and that would always be the first call I would make. And look, if I were this team, I would get the blank sheet of paper out and I would say, what would it take for you to come back and run this offensive line? We'll give you this much money. We'll call you the assistant head coach. We'll even give you a big say in the room on offensive linemen in the draft. But that's me. That's not like anything I know. That's just what I would do. Because it, to me, it's not time to take a shot on somebody that we might believe in. You need somebody who can come in and fix this. And that guy fixes offensive lines. I don't know if he wants to coach anymore. The last time I talked to him, he was very happy being a grandfather, but he's been away for a few years, and maybe the thought of coming back here and kind of resurrecting himself here, you know, would be appealing to him. I don't know. It's a call worth making. I texted him. He never answers text.
That was Corey Curtis on with us in the last segment. Appreciate him taking time to be with us. What'd you make of his Mike Munchak idea that the Titans ought to give him a call to come coach the offensive line, Joe Rexroad?
Corey, he's trying to hire him. He's like texting him, like giving him a contract offer. I don't hate. I think that everything he said there makes sense. I think it's often hard to get someone who's been out, because I think Munchak's last year was 20 his last year or 21 his last year.
I am looking that up as we speak, but either way, he's been out for a couple years now.
I think it's hard to, you know, to convince someone in that situation to come back to this grind. But then, you know, sometimes people miss it. Like Dean Pease keeps leaving, you know, coming back. I mean, there is definitely a thing when it's your life and all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, how about, what's your tea time tomorrow? Grandkids have a baseball game Tuesday night. You know, it gets a little bit, it's a huge life change, and some people need the adrenaline of doing it. So, hey, worth a shot. And, you know, someone on Twitter said, you know, basing or projecting performance based on an interview is like the worst way to do it. Or, you know, I mean, look, obviously you're talking about someone who's been in the organization also. And I think what Corey said about Keith Carter is valid and true that there, I mean, you go back to early days of Keith Carter, Terry Lewan openly did not like him. You know, they ended up figuring it out, but he was a very tough in your face, kind of more of an old school coach approach. That was very easy to see on the practice field. And now he's with the Jets. I mean, you know, I don't know. hasn't gone well. By the way, people are begging for Todd Downing to call plays up there too. By the way, so there you go. But
I think it was like Chris Canty last night tweeted like, "It's time to let Todd Downing be in charge of calling plays." It's like, really? Is it? Okay, all right. See how that goes for you.
But I think that is O-line coach is to me just strange to do it that way. It's like what the Islanders did with Trotz, right? I mean, it's like, so why must you move on from this person and then, but you want the apprentice? Sometimes it is personality. It's like the concepts, like the teaching, don't like the approach with the players. But Corey's right. There, we haven't seen improvement. Now, the 2019 improvement had to do with Luan getting back. And had to do it was mostly was like Nate Davis, right? He wasn't ready early. He was a very good rookie. Yeah. He figured it out. They don't have a guy like that. I mean, like if Skronsky, and he's been pretty good this year, but the right guard was a huge issue for that team. Take a shot at Mariota from right guard last year, which by the way, there's a little bit of an argument about, you know, interior or exterior protection. They're both important. And you had a really talented rookie who got better as the year went on. And also Roger Saffold, talented guy, didn't work out as well early. They just had, the bottom line is they had a supremely talented group then, and they do not now. They have very little talent right now.
Question comes down to me on the offensive side of things. You just mentioned it. They fired their offensive coordinator last year, and they fired their offensive line coach last year. So how willing are they going to be to make changes to the offensive staff again, right? I mean, is Tim Kelly's job actually in danger? Because to me, you could make a lot of cases why it shouldn't be, Joe. Now, having said that, they're at 16.8 points per game, and if it continues to be as bad as it's been, then if you're a Titans fan out there, you say, well, get a new offensive coordinator because he's not getting the job done. There could be a lot of reasons for that, as we've discussed, but I do wonder, like, even if it's as bad as it's been, given the fact that they just did this and they just fired their OC and their offensive line coach, are they actually going to be willing to do that again just one off season later? I don't know. If it's that bad, then you got to consider it, but I don't know that I'm convinced that they will do that.
I say with a high level of confidence, if Mike Vrabel fires Tim Kelly after this year, Mike Vrabel was told you have to fire Tim Kelly this year.
Yeah.
I say that with high confidence. I don't think that'll happen. Now, O-line, that to me is different because it's kind of a continuation. This is a new system. This is a new guy they wanted to hire before when they couldn't and they went with Downing internally. So the limitations personnel-wise and the fact that they're just switching to this offense this year, I think that makes it very unlikely. It is worth pointing out, by the way, the offensive line. There are seven different combinations that have started, basically because of injuries, right? So they've had that. But the problem for me is, yes, continuity is a huge thing for sure with an offensive line, and they have struggled to find that through no one's fault in some cases because of injuries. But all the combinations I've looked at have been subpar.
You heard it here first. Joe Rexroad says if the Titans just had continuity on the offensive line this year, they'd be fine. It'd all be good.
It's all about injuries. The story is injuries.
That's right.
Not that people who can't block other people.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans coming up next. They lose yesterday to the Jags, 34-14. They dropped to 3-7 on the regular season, and they are 3-14. In their last 17 games. We'll get into the Jags game, the conversation around Mike Vrabel and his job status, all of that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We'll have Preds Pick to Click coming up at 8:45, so looking forward to that. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Colorado Avalanche. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans. They lose 34-14 yesterday to Jacksonville. Hey, Joe, you want to hear a depressing stat if you're a Titans fan? I mean, I guess it depends on the way you view it. Either very happy for Jeffrey Simmons or very upset about what I'm about to say. Yesterday with Jeffrey Simmons,
I think I know what you're going to say.
Touchdown reception. He has now tied Treylon Burks for his career touchdown marks with one touchdown reception. What do you think of that one?
That's quite a stat right there. He's also a good blocker too. Has he had as many great blocks as Burks?
Is Jeffrey Simmons their best offensive player? That's what we're asking today on the program.
Their most versatile offensive weapon, Jeff Simmons. That catch was not a gimme. I mean, it required some hands.
Levis not a whole lot of zip on that one. He's like, I'm going to loft this one up there for the defensive tackle and hope that he can catch it. And he did. Yeah. Good on him.
Yeah, next time, just go ahead and bring the fastball. He's fine.
Just fire that sucker in there. Big Jeff can handle it. We'll see. 34-14, the final score yesterday. At one point, it was 27-0, and I thought a goose egg might be in store for the Titans. It was not. They end up scoring a couple garbage time touchdowns, but too little, too late. They fall to 3-7. 0-6 on the road. They're 3-14 in their last 17, dating back to last year. Joe, more of the same game-wise. Like, I'm running out of things to say about the Titans in the game. Like, they can't block anybody. They can't score. Their defense has been underwhelming. That's basically how you describe their season to this point. Mike Vrabel addressed his job status after the game when Paul Kuharsky was asked about it. We've talked about that all day long to this point. At 3-7, what do you make of where the Titans are right now? What did you make of the game yesterday against Jacksonville? And where do you see this thing going from here? Because as I said earlier, Joe, on paper right now, I'm identifying one, maybe two more wins for the Titans the rest of the year.
Yeah, Titans fans, long-term Titans fans, it's 2015 all over again because you have an awful team. You are thinking about, the next draft. You're talking about changes. And I know that Wizard Hunt got fired during that season, but you have your quarterback, a little different, but not much different. A little different in that there's no question as a number two pick, he's going to get the next several years to show it. I mean, I think Levis will too. But, yeah, it's a little different when you have the number two pick and the number 33 pick. But you have just a lot of awfulness around your hope at a quarterback with number 8 on his jersey. And the Titans, I don't believe, are going to be able to pull off being at the very top of the draft like that 2015 team did.
They're getting closer, though.
But they are moving up the list. Where are they now?
They're number 6.
They're not quite top 5. They're 6? Okay. Yep. They're 6. Yeah. And so, so they have 7 losses and, there's a few teams with New England has 8. So Carolina and Arizona both have 9.
Yeah.
You can make the case for the Titans. Man, if you dropped this week, you quote unquote win the tiebreaker with the Panthers. Now that's the Panthers / Bears, actually, right? Yeah. So it's just, I mean, it's going to be an absolute slog to the finish, and it's a good thing for people who have season tickets, for people who can't help themselves but to watch this team on Sunday, that there is number 8 under center and that you can hope that you see good things there in development there. But, I mean, you also need to hold your breath because he's getting battered. Yesterday wasn't as bad because they only had the ball for 9 minutes of the game. So they ran 30 fewer plays than the Jags. He had good numbers. He also comes up limping after that scramble, and they retape the foot. And so we're already talking about a guy who's dealing with a little something here. He'll probably be on the injury report again this weekend. It's basically Levis and Lewis. Double L's for the Titans.
I will say, the numbers are good for Levis. He's 13-17, 158 with 2 touchdowns yesterday. I mean, he had the garbage time touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins and then that deep shot to Chris Moore, too. Other than that, I mean, they were at about like 75 yards passing on the day. It wasn't going very well. Also, like, I do think one thing that is fair to say about Levis to this point is he has probably deserved to throw more interceptions than he actually has.
Yes.
And he had one again yesterday where he's rolling around. and he throws it across his body right back to the middle of the field, and the defender just dropped it. But probably deserves to have a few more picks than he does to this point.
He made a couple decisions yesterday that were flat out bad rookie QB decisions that he's very lucky didn't cost him. I mean, the numbers for him are very deceiving. Again, he didn't have much of a chance. He doesn't have much of a chance with his offense. And when he's when he actually can stand up, step into a throw, and has someone downfield, he's throwing a beautiful ball.
Yeah,
okay, there's no doubt about that. But yeah, he made a couple decisions yesterday that you just like when they go through film, it's like erase that from your game. At all costs, erase that from your game. That's going to do nothing but help the team lose. So, overall, it's. I think he's handled it well. You know, I mean, it's still when they can manage, like, you know, 13 to 17, like you said, you get the two big plays, you take those away, and you're talking about 94 of his 158 yards,
right?
Okay, that are off the board. I did think he had a few other short intermediate throws that were good, you know, that were like he just had enough time and he got it to a good spot, you know, for Hopkins on one play or this, you know. I mean, the talent is there. The toughness is there. I think we've definitely seen that so far. How much can the rest of the year help him? And it, like I said earlier in the show, it's like Titans fans want the team to lose now. I mean, not – I'm sure – I know plenty of Titans fans would be like, no, I still want the team to win. I can't help root for them to win. But, you know, big picture, it's better for this team to lose now. But also, you probably wouldn't mind seeing the young guy lead a game-winning drive or two before the end of the year, right? And that's a huge part of quarterbacking this league is being able to command the two-minute and getting it done.
Well, they need him to make enough plays where you feel good about him heading into next year, right? Like, they need Levis to show some progress here. And, look, I don't know how much of a chance he's going to have to actually do that based on what's around him right now. But, yeah, like – right now, if you're the Titans, if you're a Titans fan, you're thinking about the future, you're thinking about the draft, you're thinking about positioning, all those things. But in the back of your mind, aren't you wanting to see Levis take some steps forward to close out this season and to feel good about him heading into the offseason and try to build the roster around him? And I'm not saying you can't do that and you can't feel good about him if things don't improve much for the rest of this year, because like I said, I just don't know how much of a chance he actually has based on the rest of the team and the quality that's around him right now. But I do think if you're a fan, if you're somebody in that front office, if you're a member of that coaching staff, you would feel better about the way things are going if he ripped off a couple of excellent performances towards the end of the year here.
Yeah, basically you want then this is like abracadabra, Wizard of Oz stuff, but you want, you know, cleaner pockets, as few hits as possible on him, 300-yard performances, and then the other team to have a punt return is destroy your defense or whatever and still beat you.
Yeah.
You want to lose a bunch of shootouts.
Your defense just totally fall apart.
Yeah, just the defense just completely collapse, and Levis look great and, you know, be at the top of the draft for whatever you may be doing there. Probably left tackle, but Marv Jr.
We're going to start getting into if the Titans are picking at number 4 overall, should they take a left tackle or should they take Marvin Harrison Jr. or Brock Bowers? What do you think of that?
It's such a, you know, it's just so pathetic that I actually just brought up the draft. Like, I need to stop doing that. I need to only talk about the draft when people ask us about it,
which is going to happen many times from now until April.
Morning Show Michelle says Jeff Simmons to the O-line.
Well, maybe so.
I need to ask her how Ryan from Chicago is doing today after just an atrocious blown game.
Probably not.
My
well.
God, Matt Eberflus. Oh,
he's gonna get fired too. Jeff, we need you to play fullback, tight end, offensive line, and defensive tackle. Can you do that?
And I will say that swim move and absolute annihilation of ETN yesterday was like, oh my, at least he's out there doing some stuff.
Well, it was, you know, we talk about the toll that the losing is taking right now on the team. You know, Derrick Henry in the clip we played earlier in the show was talking about how, you know, I don't really know what rock bottom feels like, but this is bad and it's not going very well. Jeff Simmons, on the other hand, like he's been vocal after some of these games. I think he's like run out of stuff to say. I mean, yesterday he was just like, I don't know, man. I don't know what else to say at this point. It's the same thing every week, which I have sympathy for.
But Jeff, I want another quote from you. Say something else, Jeff.
Apparently, Trevor Lawrence this morning has catered Waffle House to the Jaguars front office on Victory Monday. The Jags Twitter account just put this out. That guy loves him some Waffle House.
Wow, that's very cool of him.
He looked pretty good yesterday.
I don't. Now I want Waffle House, and it's across the street from where I am right now.
Titans have a way of making quarterbacks look good so far this year. Trevor Lawrence looked pretty good yesterday. A couple running touchdowns.
Yeah, that's the thing. Those running touchdowns, I was like, man. I mean, that was pretty good acceleration, I thought, you know, from him. That team is, you know, you're grading on a curve when you're playing a team as bad as the Titans, but they could be interesting in January.
13-4 in their last 17. The anti-Titans, 13-4.
3-14, 13-4.
That's right.
My goodness.
Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, our phone number. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. We'll look ahead to the Preds and the Avalanche coming up. Also take your final thoughts on the Titans and their loss to Jacksonville yesterday. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at a score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Colorado Avalanche. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. The standings in the competition are as follows. The listeners taking the lead last time out with 4 correct answers on the year. Joe Rexroad and Nick Keyser tied for second place with 3 correct answers apiece. And myself in last place with 2 correct answers on the season. With that in mind, we go to our 102.5 the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Ellen. Ellen, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators? Hello?
Hello?
Who is your pick to click for the Preds tonight?
Philip Forsberg.
There we go. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Forsberg, very popular selection right now. Guy's playing well. Ran the numbers before the Chicago game on Saturday. He's on pace for about 98 points. So pretty popular pick, pretty good stretch of games that Forsberg is on right now. Nick Keyser, Forsberg is off the board. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Roman Josi, give it to me. He has had a lot of success against them the last 10 games or so. So give me the captain.
That was quick. Forsberg and Josi off the board. I'm up next. I'll tell you what. I'm going to go Luke Evangelista. I think he finds a way to score one tonight on the power play. Joe Rexroad, Forsberg, Josi, Evangelista off the board. Your pick to click.
Yakov did get off the schneid.
He did.
That would be you can't count on that again.
Yeah, don't pick someone on the injured reserve this time, Joe.
Well, in fairness, Novak wasn't on the IR until.
Yeah, he wasn't on IR. Yeah, that's right. I didn't know that. You just take it easy over there, buddy. I'll go Victor Arvidsson.
Thank you. Cliff Ronning.
I'd like to get into Nick's time machine and various football games and hockey players. I will go. How about Cody Glass?
Ooh, Cody Glass.
How about Cody Glass? What do you think?
I like
Cody Glass?
I like it.
Okay.
Forsberg, right. Josi, Evangelista, and Glass, the selections in Preds Pick to Click. Brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Joe, Avs and Preds tonight. The return of Ryan Johansson, who's got 6 goals so far with Colorado. He's been very successful on their power play unit, playing with McKinnon and Rantanen and Makar. It's amazing how you can be successful playing with those guys. But look, I think this is a classic example, Joe, of two things being true at the same time. Ryan Johansson, during the last part of his tenure here, did not live up to the contract that he signed. And obviously Barry Trotz thought so as well, made the decision to buy out basically half his contract and then trade him to the Colorado Avalanche. Having said that, if you start to list off the best centermen in Preds franchise history, he's at number one on the list for me. I mean, just based on what he accomplished in a uniform here in the playoffs, the numbers that he put up. So I expect a warm reception from Ryan Johansson tonight, and I'm sure that's what we'll see from the Nashville Predators faithful in the crowd tonight at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, I would definitely hope so. Yeah, I would definitely hope so. And, yeah, two things true, I think, with both of those guys, Johansson, Duchesne, you know, they didn't live up to their contracts, but also their roles here.
Yeah.
And they're at places where they can have lesser roles, and they're very, and of course they're paid less because, you know, those teams don't have to pay the whole deal.
Yeah.
And it's very effective, you know. And the bottom line is this, you know, when you can go to a place and play with great players, teams that are actually contending level teams, it's a whole lot easier, right? And here they just couldn't carry a much weaker roster.
By the way, Matt Duchesne is on pace for 77 points this year. Just throwing that out there. 77 points.
He's become Brett Saberhagen. I hope someone out there gets that.
I don't.
Every other year is a Cy Young Award winner, and then the even years he's like awful.
We'll see what the Preds could do tonight. Big win for them on Saturday against Chicago. Nice to see them get back in the win column, and they'll try to hold off the high-powered Colorado Avalanche tonight with Rantanen, McKinnon, and McCarr all playing extremely well to begin the season. So a big challenge coming up tonight for the Predators as they take on the Avalanche. Joe, your final thoughts on the Titans, their loss yesterday to Jacksonville, 3-7. What's the path forward here from this group? You're in the locker room today, and you know that your season, in terms of reaching the postseason, for all intents and purposes, is over at this point. What's the path forward here for the Titans as they try to close out the season with 7 games remaining?
Well, I think at some point, maybe it's happened or maybe it needs to just happen more. I think at some point the conversation really is like, guys, you know, I've been in this league, and I'm channeling Mike Vrabel right now. I've been in this league. I've thought I was cut. I've had to be a special teams guy to stay in this league. I've been traded, all that stuff. Like, this is where you are tested as a professional. You got to be a professional. And every, you know, collectively, it matters to be part of the collective and do your best and do things that are unselfish to help the team. And also individually, you got to put good stuff on film and try to win a game. I mean, that's, yeah, that's the mindset every week when things are going well or not. And that's the reason that's the mindset, because if your mindset every week is just try to win this football game, you know, then that's your best path to trying to get consistency. Unfortunately, this team is consistently awful, yeah. But that's how you have to approach it, and they're going to keep trying to win. And look, by the way, they're 3-0 with pretty good numbers in Nissan Stadium. They are 0-7 with horrific numbers away from Nissan Stadium. So, I mean, the thing is, I could totally see a scenario where they blow out the Panthers. Like, they really could. They could blow out the Panthers, right, on Sunday. And it's like, wow. I mean, if this team just inverted the schedule, they'd be 8-4 if they had all these home games, and we'd be loving them. I'm just throwing stuff out there, trying to be positive. Thanksgiving's coming and all that. Don't
get excited.
Their cheeks.
That's going to do it for us today on Robbie and Rexro. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.